Thank you for all you did and what you continue to do. Today really is a great day to honor moms, but for some, today, but it's also a day that can be a painful day. I'm often reminded that we don't live in a fairy tale. We live in a world that's stained by sin, filled with joy, happiness, while at the same time it's filled with deep sadness and hurt because of that sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you have lost your mom, or maybe you've lost a child, and today is just extremely difficult. Maybe you've been told that you can't have kids, and today is a reminder of that reality. And it would do us a great disservice for us to just come into this building this morning with just put a smile on our face, pretend that everything's okay, and walk out the door as if it was okay, and pretend that none of that is true. But the only way that we can truly have a happy Mother's Day is if we take all of that pain, all of those troubles, all of those feelings that we feel, and bring them to King Jesus. That is the only way that any of us, moms, fathers, husbands, wives, kids, it's the only way that any of us can truly get through life. We have a very real Savior who is present with us, who wants to bear all of our burdens. And so, moms, I would encourage you to bring it all to Jesus, because you have a King who sits in heaven who is able to sympathize with all of your weaknesses. Bring it to King Jesus. He knows what you feel more than anybody else around you. So bring it to Jesus. Let Jesus be your support. It's a joy this morning to preach to moms today. I don't typically preach to a specific target, a specific person or group of people, but that's what I'm going to do this morning. And really, what I'm going to say this morning doesn't just apply to moms. It applies to anybody who considers themselves a follower of Jesus. And so don't hear this message, or don't just turn me off because Jason, okay, is going to talk about moms and I don't need to listen to anything. Really, this applies to you if you're a Christian, period. But I'm going to speak directly to moms this morning. We're going to look in Galatians chapter 2, if you haven't already turned there, and we're going to examine really the glory of the gospel and how you as a mom can be a gospel-centered mom. So Galatians chapter 2, Paul in the book of Galatians is writing to a church that has really turned their back on the gospel. They've deserted the gospel. They're moving away from the gospel of grace, and they have replaced it, or are well on their way to replacing it with a gospel of works, relying on the law, relying on what they could do to earn God's favor, which is really not a gospel at all. That's not good news. The good news is based on grace alone. Faith alone, grace alone, and Christ alone. Not on anything that I can do to earn God's favor. We are justified, made right with God because of what Christ has done, and having faith in His work, His finished work. And so if you would follow along, I'm not going to ask you to stand. We're just going to read one verse this morning. I think it says two verses in your bulletin, but we're going to read one verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul writes this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for a passage that points us clearly to Jesus. And so would You help us? Would You illuminate, light up Your word this morning, that we would see the glories of the gospel here, that we would understand what it means for us, what it means for moms and dads and families, what it means for us individually and how we could pursue Jesus more faithfully, that you would cause us to be fruitful, faithful followers of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work this morning in a powerful way, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Moms, God wants you to be a gospel-centered mom. God wants you to have the kind of motherhood that requires a crucified and risen Savior. See, the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He was crucified. He was killed on a Roman cross. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead to forgive sinners. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He rose from the dead to forgive sinners, to forgive moms, to forgive dads. Jesus is not meant to be restricted to just the corners of our lives, the devotional areas of our lives, just the things that we set aside for him, the spiritual pursuits of our lives. The true gospel extends and spreads to the very edges of your life. It consumes everything that you are. It extends to your parenting failures, your parenting successes. It is everything, not just some things. Jesus, if he's Lord, Jesus is Lord of it all. The gospel of God's grace, the good news of God's grace extends to motherhood. It's not just the foundation, it's not just the walls, it's not just the roof, it's everything. It is the very air that you breathe. The gospel is everything. So I pray that you would begin to look at the gospel and that you would go to Jesus before you would go to some person that you watch on TV to give you mothering advice, or that you would before you would go to Google and Google, why are my kids so weird, or whatever you go to Google and Google to find out how you can be a better parent. Run to Jesus. Pursue him through his word. When things do go right, go to Jesus. When things don't go right, go to Jesus. You know, what do we see in the Gospels when kids are sick and parents don't know what to do anymore? What do? They go to Jesus because they know that Jesus is the only one that can help. And so we ought to do the same. We ought to go to Jesus. I don't know, this morning maybe you as a mom, you might be operating out of several different sources for joy, for fulfillment in your life. Maybe you're operating out of a source of guilt. Maybe you're heaping condemnation on yourself for all the things that you did not do right. Things that you look at other parents and you think to yourself, why can't I be a parent like that person? Why can't I be as good as a parent as that person? And so you just heap all this guilt on your, why didn't I do things differently? And so that's how you live your being a mommy, being a mom, being a mother. Maybe you operate out of a source of self-righteousness. Man, I sure am glad I've got good skills at being a mom. I sure am glad you're at Kroger or you're at Target and you're looking around at all these moms with these kids and you're going, man, I'm glad that I don't have those kids. And you think, man, how good do I have it? I am a good parent. If we're being honest this morning, a lot of us operate out of being a worrisome mom. Moms tend to be worriers. Even now, if you've got little kids, maybe you're wondering, man, I wonder how they're really behaving themselves. I hope they're being quiet. Maybe you're the achievement-centered mom. You find joy in how good of a mom you can be and all the things that you do right. Maybe you're the obedient kid-centered mom where you find fulfillment when your kids do all the right things, behave all the right ways. Maybe you're the clean house-centered mom and you think, if I could just get my house in order, then everything would just fall into place. Or maybe you're the mommy-centered mom, where you are all about mommydom. Everything mommydom. I don't know what that means. But see, the thing is if we're not careful, then we become about those things to give us fulfillment, to make us feel valuable, instead of finding that value and fulfillment in Christ. Moms, what good is it to feel like you're the mom of the year if you lose your own soul? Be a Christ-centered, being a mom is to Christ, not to being a mom. Mom is a great identity, but it is not your first identity if you are a Christian. You will not stand before King Jesus as a mom. You will stand before King Jesus as a Christian, as a follower of your King. So don't get that mixed up. You are a Christian first. Mom is a great identity, but it is not your primary identity. Christ should impact your motherhood, not vice versa. It's not the way it works. Look at the beginning of verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ is the center. He is the focal point of who you are. Where you get your value from, where you find hope. You have been crucified with Christ, identified with Christ. He is where you find your chief identity. But if mom becomes your chief identity when things don't go right as a mom, then you're going to become your chief disappointment because you failed. And it'll crush you. If you don't abide in Christ, remain in Christ, when all of the failures come along with being a parent, come along with being a mom, you will crumble under the guilt. You'll go from being a sinner saved by grace, and you will move to be feeling like you are nothing but a failure. Instead, the gospel reminds us that we are sinners, all of us, sinners saved by God's grace, Him giving us something, this grand gift of salvation that we don't deserve. I am a mom, I am a dad, I am a parent saved by grace. When we start identifying ourselves with all of these other things outside of Christ, those things will crush us. They're not meant to give us value. They're not meant to be fulfilling. The only one that's meant to give us value and hope and fulfillment is Jesus. There is no cookie cutter mold that we need to conform to when we're being a parent. But there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and we are to be conformed to His image as the Holy Spirit works in us. You've been crucified with Christ. And crucified motherhood lives in the power of the cross. And it reminds us that we are forgiven because of what Christ has done. I am free and I am accepted by God because of what He has done through His Son, Jesus. It doesn't depend on my parenting wins or my parenting failures. You have been crucified with Christ. Sin, failure, success, it doesn't control us. You've been crucified with Christ. So if you tend to live in a constant state of worry, we need to call it what it is, what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it sin. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, be anxious for nothing. There's power that comes with calling sin what it is. And accepting the fact that I am freed and empowered to trust Jesus in all things, because at the cross, God's predetermined and his ordained plan, it was carried out for my sins, and he holds everything, including my life, including your life, and how well or how poorly you are a mom. He holds all of that in his hands. He is in control of it all. That's what Jesus does. That's his job. He is the sustainer of all things. Crucified motherhood looks to the cross for acceptance and power and encouragement. It's at the cross where we find hope and value, our everything. What's the hymn say? Our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not built on how good of a parent I am. My hope is built on Jesus and what he accomplished for me. Because of the cross, you have been united to Jesus, and which means that you are inseparable from Jesus. There's nothing that can separate you from him. Nothing. Not life, not death, nothing. He is not detached from your motherhood. He's right there with you. He promises to be there with you to the very end of the age. Continue reading in verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That might be the single greatest encouragement that you can hear. Christ lives in me. Christian mom this morning, Christ is alive in you. The question, do you really believe that? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you really believe that Christ lives in you? No matter what you're doing. Whether you're in an office, a classroom, at home in front of the computer, sitting in a swing, changing diapers, whatever you're doing, Christ lives in you. There is nothing more powerful than Jesus Christ. Nothing in your parenting that you will face can be, there's nothing that comes close to the power that you have that lives in you by virtue of your being a follower of Jesus. He lives in you. The king of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one who creates stars hundreds of times larger than the sun, lives in you. Do we really believe that? That kind of power can't be touched, can be matched. That means that if Jesus is with you, no matter what you're doing, whether it's cooking, why does it have to be domestic things? I don't know why it has to be domestic things. Marcy doesn't cook. She cooks cookies. Or washing clothes, whether you're washing clothes, maybe you're changing a diaper. Whatever you're doing, he's with you. And that means that no matter what you're doing, it's significant. No matter what you're doing. Jesus showed us this when he washed the disciples' feet. You know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet for God's glory. You wipe little hinies for God's glory. It's all meaningful. That's what Jesus was showing us when he washed the disciples' feet. No matter what you're doing, he's with you, and he gives meaning to what you're doing. There is nothing more powerful and that brings significance to your life that Jesus doesn't already give you. So live in the power of Jesus. Don't remove yourself from your weakness. You think, well, I'm weak. Well, of course you are. Let his strength be your strength. Where I'm weak, he is strong. Live in that. Trust him in that. We must abide in him and his love because he is our power source. And when we remove ourselves from that, what can we do? You know, John 15 tells us that if we remain in him and in his love, if we abide in him, we will be fruitful. But if we're not, we're remaining in him, abiding in him, resting in him, then we're removing ourselves from the power that lives in us. And I know that all of us come from different backgrounds. We all come to different baggage that we bring into our relationships, family histories that come into marriage. And we have positive things, negative things when it comes to parenting that have influenced us. But we can't make excuses. You know, I parent this way because it was the way I was brought up. No. If you're a Christian, you have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, all of these things in the past, they're in the past. You have been crucified with Christ. And so you have been brought into a new family with a new history, with a new future. And so you parent out of that. You have been crucified with Christ. Don't allow past your past to influence your parenting. Allow Jesus and his kingdom and his influence and his power to influence your future and how you parent. You have something in Jesus and being brought into his family that trumps your family history. It's just the truth. If Jesus can conquer death, Jesus can conquer all of your past and all of your family history and all of its bad habits and all of the sin that comes along with it. Jesus is more powerful than all that. You have access to a family history like none other. A sinless one, a spotless one, a blameless one, an eternal one. Remember, God invented motherhood. And he's right there with you, empowering you and leading you and guiding you. Galatians 2:20 again, he continues, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." The life I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith moves forward boldly with the promises of God. It is fearless and courageous. It's the kind of faith where a woman would trust God to place her baby in a basket and send it down the river so that the wrath of Pharaoh would not come down on that baby. It's the kind of faith where a mom would give her blessing to her child to go to a third world country to be a missionary. We need, as parents and moms, dad, we need to be praying that God would use our kids for his glory, not for our glory or their glory, but for our good and God's glory. That God, we would be honored that God would call them to go to a place where they have not heard the gospel yet. Do you trust God enough to do that? The life I live by faith in the Son of God. Be a courageous mom. Satan wants to sway you away from biblical thinking and into worldly wisdom. Wimpy theology leads to wimpy followers of Jesus. Moms, you need to have a solid, strong, courageous, convictional theology when it comes to who God is, to the character of God. You need to have a strong, courageous, convictional theology when it comes to the sovereignty of God. Convictional theology when it comes to who Jesus is, who the Son of God is. To be able to live based on what you believe and trust God, to live by faith in the Son of God, to be able to stand on the Word with conviction. If God has entrusted you with kids, then He's calling you not to worry, not to fear, but to trust God with your kids. Do you live by faith in the Son of God when it comes to your kids? Are you every day clinging to Christ, pursuing Christ? That is a legacy to leave with your kids, with your grandkids, your great-grandkids. To have a strong, courageous, convictional belief on who God is, on who Jesus is. My hope is that kids in this room and kids that are in the other building this morning would say something like this in the years to come. You know, my mom, she didn't do everything right, but she sure did love Jesus. And I hope our kids say the same thing about dads. My dad couldn't fix anything. He couldn't build anything, but he sure did love Jesus. What do you want your kids to look back and remember about you? I'm reminded of what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Pass on your faith in Jesus. Put your faith on display. Let it light up your house. In Romans 16:13, Paul says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. That's Paul the Apostle. This unnamed woman, Paul says, she's been like a mom to me. There are a lot of men and women who can say the same thing about somebody else. She was like a mom to me. There are young boys, young girls who cannot say that about their parents, but who need followers of Jesus to come alongside them and love them like a mom. We have that opportunity here at First Baptist Church to be a mom to those who don't have a mom, to be a dad to those who don't have a dad, to come alongside them and love them and point them to Jesus. To live by faith in the Son of God. That means it's a life. It's not just a Sunday or a Wednesday. I mean, do you hear that and say, well, I live by faith in the Son of God, but you know, Jason, Monday and Tuesday, I kind of live my life my own way. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, my own way. Sunday comes around, I give that to the Lord. That's worlds apart from what this Bible verse says. It's worlds apart from what God's Word says. I live by faith in the Son of God. You cannot turn it on and turn it off. It is a daily pursuit to live by faith in the Son of God, a daily pursuit of Jesus. Paul is not calling us to some vague spirituality. He is calling us to a real, tangible faith. It's not faith in faith. faith in a concept. It's faith in a person. It's faith in the person of Jesus. Do you live day by day by faith in the Son of God? Lastly, moms, Jesus loves you. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't ever get over that. If we get over that, we don't recognize how ugly our sin is and what our sin means before a holy God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. We don't recognize how messed up we are if we forget that God loves us and gave himself for us. We should be continually amazed by the love that Jesus has shown us. We are a messed up people, but yet Jesus died for us because he loved us. Jesus, I knew you were going to do that, Jesus says, but I still love you. Still went to the cross for you and died for you. Jesus doesn't wait for us to get everything right. Once you get everything right, then I'll love you. No. We'll never get to that point. He loved us before we got everything right and gave himself for us before we. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not we were sinners, then got right, then God died. No. While we were yet sinners, we were wicked, rebellious. In John chapter 15, I mentioned earlier, he also says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Think about that. As the Father, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in me. Rest in me. Nothing matches the love of Christ. The love of Jesus, moms, the love of Jesus should be the stabilizing force in your life. Nothing is greater than the love that he has for you. It lifts you up to the throne room of his grace where you can receive help in your time of need. Jesus loves you and he gave himself for you. And when you live that out, when that becomes real to you and you live by faith in him because of his love for you, then you will love as you have been loved. You will forgive as you have been forgiven. You will serve as you have been served. God's grace is unconditional. His love for you is unconditional, and it is for you. It is his grace for you, moms. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And any mom who is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. That truly makes it a happy Mother's Day. May Christ be praised. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to you thankful that if we're in Christ, that yes, we are new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. That any mom who comes to you can trust that. And that moms and dads, all of us, we're in Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the moms who live by faith. in the Son of God who loved her and gave himself for her. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you that we're forgiven, that we are loved, that we are redeemed, that we will stand before you holy and completely righteous because of everything you have done for us, not because of anything we have done or anything we can do. Would you encourage moms this morning? You're so deserving of our praise, Lord Jesus. And may we do that as we close our service today. Jesus, it's in your mighty name, your awesome name, that we pray these things. Amen. Church, would you stand?